Yo, I've been waiting for this day since yesterday. It is officially the last day of November. Flipping out of November into December, talking about Tesla losing EV share, the top 10 cars if you want to hold your value, and the U.S. soccer team.
Everywhere I go, yes. The people really want to know who I is and who I be. They stop and stare when they see me.
I'm going to save that to the end.
I'm just going to be quiet. You take care of the first two. Ready, go.
He's got to save all his words for the third story. Got to save them all for the third story. Hey, so yesterday I was after work. My wife called me and she was like, hey, like, let's go Christmas shopping. And I was like, man, that's so early for the dailies to be Christmas shopping. And then, like, you know, we've been talking about, we're going to be in Nashville the last week, the Christmas week, basically, for the year in extravaganza, which we're having, by the way. And I walk into, so she's like spending, like, looking at every item in Nordstrom Rack, which is like how my wife shops. She looks at every item, like picks it up, feels
Nordstrom
it.
Nordstrom Rack's a great place to do that.
It is. So she's like grabbing stuff for the kids, and especially over in that little area, grabbing all these little stocking stuff for lotions and stuff for the girls. So I'm just wandering the mall by myself. So I wander into a GameStop and I'm like, oh, maybe I'll see something that I think Miles would like, or, you know, like a little Chotsky or something like that. And the kid behind the counter says, like, to me, first of all, it's the first time I've been in a GameStop where it didn't smell like feet. I was excited about that. Secondly, I went in and he was like, hey, can I help you find anything? I was like, no, I'm just looking. And he says, you in the market for a PS5? At first, I thought he was going to he owned one. I thought he owned one and he was going to like try to flip it to me on the black market. He's like, I was like, maybe. He's like, we actually have some. I was like, really? He's like, yeah. And then so, you know, I don't know if I was going to get one. But then I texted you. I was like, you know, we're having this little year-end extravaganza week of December.
You know,
and
we got to give something away. Let's go. We got a PS5.
We got a PS5.
Let's go.
Sitting in my office, blocking the light. It's so magnificent. And so we're going to be giving the PS5 away just in time for Christmas at the year-end extravaganza on December 20th live in Nashville. You can still win this PS5, and we promise we will expedite ship it to you so you have it in time for Christmas. But you have to sign up for the year-end extravaganza to check out the live stream and check it out. I don't know. How do they do that, Kyle?
They go to ASOTU.com, scroll just a wee bit down, and hit the little more info button. That's the easiest way to get to the year-end extravaganza page. You can check out all of the different live streams on the different platforms. You can come in person for a nice little event. We've got about 50 tickets set aside for that. So if you want to come in person, you're close to Nashville, or just fancy a little flight to one of the greatest cities in the country, in my opinion, you can come on.
About to find that out. I want to thank our friends at Orbi for being the presenting sponsor this year. We're going full Tonight Show mode. We had a production meeting yesterday. Our show producer produces a couple little events like the New York Fashion Week for E! Network and the Emmys for E! Network. And like Kyle and I were at the production meeting.
You know, the video production team has done like the Grammys, and they've done like Qualcomm massive worldwide events. You know, nothing short, nothing little. We've got people from like ESPN crews.
Yeah.
You know, it's just the whole deal,
because you deserve it. Kyle and I were in the production meeting. We're texting each other like, Kyle goes, I think I'll just see myself out, because they're all like flipping all the industry terms.
I walk into a room and I don't even know any of the words anyone's saying. Like, I'm like, oh, other industries have the acronym problem too. I see.
Yeah, right. And they all know what's going on. So please check it out. Put on your calendar right now, December 20th, Tuesday, December 20th. We're going to do a live show, Tonight Show style, with live guests and all the fun. Also, we released some new In the Dirt episodes. Have a podcast called In the Dirt. Charles Higgins is like, agree with you, Kyle. Greatest city. Although we may be partial. Hey, I'm excited to visit Nashville and spend some time there. My family's going a little early, so hopefully lives up to the hype. I have a feeling it will. Also, In the Dirt episodes, we have a podcast called In the Dirt with Asotu. Today, we have some fun episodes up. So check those out as well. All right, let's talk about a little bit of news on the last day of the month. So a new report, data from S&P Global Mobility show that Tesla continues to lose market share to lower priced alternatives like the Ford Mustang Mach-E, the Hyundai Ioniq 5. So Tesla owned 79% of the market share in 2020, 69% in 2021. This year so far, first 9 months, it is down to 65%. You know, however, out of the 525,000 EVs registered over the first 9 months, 340,000 of them were Teslas, as opposed to the 46 other nameplates.
You know, if I'm Tesla, I'm like, meh.
Yeah.
It used to be basically 100% Now we're down to, okay, 65. We're still doing all right.
I know.
This is going to be something that I think over the next, especially 7-8 years, as we get to the year 2030, you know, it's just going to completely change and the landscape is going to change. I think Tesla's probably going to settle down in those, like, you know, how the Toyota market share kind of sits in the general market.
Yeah.
Tesla will probably kind of settle down and sit down
in
the EV market. So it's, you know, it's, I don't think it's out of the question that they knew that they, that this was coming.
No.
But it is pretty rapid and it's going to continue to be rapid. It's also interesting to note that in the over $50,000 price point, they still own 85% of the market, which a lot of the talk has been around Tesla still commanding the luxury brand market, especially in the EVs. And they're actually growing in the overall luxury brand market, not just the EV market. So, they've got different things in different sides and they're still talking about, you know, lower priced EVs. And I think that there's just market to be had. There's market share moves where the leveling off of this is not going to happen probably for another 10 to 12 years in the EV landscape. Mm-hmm. But all the other makers can certainly give give a little hype
heck
cheer.
Yeah, we're going for it. I mean, the big consideration too is just the growth of the volume of the market, right? The pie is just getting so much bigger. Yep. So much faster. And you know, according to the report, you know, it says Tesla is the brand best equipped for taking advantage of the immediate surge in EV demand. Just because they have made the manufacturing investments. But, you know, we've been throwing around a lot of billion dollar numbers of all the other manufacturers getting in the game and trying to catch up. So it'll be fun to see how that plays out. But I mean, the pie's getting bigger. I remember my dad used to work for a company called Bell Telephone, which it was Bell Atlantic, and then it became Verizon. But back in the day, when you wanted a phone number, you didn't go to Google. You actually called 411 on your phone. You remember these days, Kyle?
Yes, I remember these days.
And then, like, a computer will, like, you'll say the number you want, and then it'll spit you back the number. Hey, I want to call, you know, Dick's Sporting Goods.
Papa John's.
Papa John's. Yeah. That's probably a popular one. Well, way back in the day, when my dad was 18, his first job was sitting at a desk with a phone book and a headset, and people would call in, and he would flip through the number, find the, and give it to him. And you could get people too. I could be like, I want to call Kyle Mountseer. And since there's only one, right? They'd be like, Kyle Mountseer, here's his home phone number. And so they would sell advertising in the phone book. And then another competitor came, the Donnelly Directory, and everyone was freaking out. And actually what happened was the Bell Atlantic phone book, the sales went through the roof because you had other people now raising awareness that phone book advertising works. And so kind of same things at play. The pie is just getting so much bigger.
Yeah.
Tesla's going
I would say right now, market share isn't the biggest concern of any EV manufacturer.
No, volume.
It's overall volume.
Volume, volume, volume. Speaking of...
Nope, we missed it.
Ah, so good. I was trying. Sometimes it'll just come to me. But it won't, so we'll just go with a stop.
Stop!
There you go. We're just going to stop. NAD released an article just today of the 10 used cars that hold their value best after 5 years. And everybody right now is probably feeling like, I think I know what it might be, what it might not be. But they found the average five-year-old car depreciated by only an average of 33%, or 33 and a third, after 5 years. So a third of the value, which is actually 17% lower than the depreciation rate was in 2021, which if you have to flip that around in your mind. So it's a lower depreciation rate, which means the car has more value, right? It's like one of those backwards things. So,
and then everybody knows used car values, blah, 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 blah.
Absolutely. So the vehicle search engine analyzed 3 million five-year-old cars sold in 2022. And, you know, obviously the fuel-efficient cars held their value the best, right? Gas prices are high. People want those cars. I was going to ask you, but the list is in the show notes and you can probably see it.
Right.
But the number one car, which is no surprise for you that know about Jeep Wranglers.
I would have probably gotten this.
Jeep Wrangler only depreciated 7.3% over five years. I still don't understand why they hold their value so much.
Why is that? You know why?
No.
Community.
Ooh.
Oh, you see what I did there? They got them ducks and stuff. Yeah. They built a community around a vehicle brand. And that, and honestly, if you look at the rest of the cars on here, there's two reasons why things are holding their value in this top 10.
No doubt. I didn't even think of that. That's clutch.
It's either built on community around the brand or vehicle, or low price, low cost.
I was gonna say, and yeah, the Nissan Versa community doesn't seem like it's thriving.
Yeah, like Corolla, Versa, Civic. It's just a lower cost vehicle that has a long staying power. And
Civic's got a little thing going though. Civic's got a little thing going community wise. But the list,
I'm gonna call that had a little thing going back in like 2005. I don't know about current day.
It maybe even I remember Civics were the jam. So Jeep Wranglers,
run down the list.
Okay,
run
Jeep Wrangler number one, Jeep Wrangler Unlimited, which is kind of the same thing, is number two. Porsche 911, Toyota Tacoma, big community there. Honda Civic, Subaru BRZ, Ford Mustang, Corolla, Nissan Versa, and Chevy Camaro, rounding out the last on the list. Man, that's a great insight, dude. The community around them. Yeah, I mean, and you think about like what you need to do to regulate that from a supply side. Right, like Wranglers have already been high, but like they just made enough of them to hold.
If you oversupply it, you could actually hurt.
You crush it,
right?
Yeah,
I mean, you think about that. Like I know just from like finding a Wrangler or finding even a used Wrangler is not an easy thing. Like that's something that I remember in sales. Like, oh, we got a Wrangler, boom, boom, boom. All of a sudden, the phones are
ringing, gone. Right, right, right. Right. Yeah, no doubt.
Especially like a lifted Wrangler, that thing's gone.
Speaking of lifted. Kyle, this the one US is all you.
National soccer team, the U.S. men's national team defeated Iran 1-0 on a Christian Pulisic goal to advance to the knockout round. For here's some stats for you. Of the 22 World Cups held, the U.S. has advanced to 11 of them. Interestingly enough, in the very first ever World Cup, the U.S. made it to the semifinals. Now, not a massive feat because back then only 16 teams actually qualified, so they only had to win two games to get to the semifinals. They went completely dark in the Cold War era because they apparently we just decided soccer was just not a thing. Back in 1990, we re-entered and got back in, and we've only missed it once, the World Cup since then, which was in 2018. So if you see all these stats of like, we haven't made it to the quarterfinals since 2014. It's only because we just completely missed a year and trashed the whole soccer, you know, community. But we're back this year. So this would be, if we beat the Netherlands on Saturday, this would be only the third time that we would have ever made it out of the round of 16. So pretty big deal.
What's our chances of beating the Netherlands, Kyle?
You know, actually there's a good chance here. We are definitely the underdogs, but playing as the underdogs in the knockout rounds actually gives you a pretty large advantage in the round of 16 and the quarterfinals, just because you play all out.
Oh, yeah.
The Netherlands is going to leave their back line exposed because they're not going to their back line, meaning their defense. They're not going to expect a lot out of the U.S. So, and we're playing on a Saturday, should be like a lot of energy around just the way that the U.S. is kind of geared up and encouraging the team, and should be a pretty rowdy day for U.S. soccer across sports bars.
That's
I'm excited.
Unbelievable. I'm excited that I get to watch it because it's on a Saturday and like I'll be home. Yep. And what time is it on?
10 o'clock, 10 Eastern
a.m.
I think. Yeah.
Oh, that sounds amazing.
It's perfect, right?
Yeah. Slow Saturday morning, turn some soccer on, get it going in the house. I'm excited.
The couple things to watch out for if you are kind of interested, not really interested, Christian Pulisic on his goal actually got a minor injury, but he is expected to be back. And so if he's at full health, we're good to go. And then, you know, if some of the players that have been playing to their caliber, and then the real question is, can Walker Zimmerman and Tim Ream, our central defense, kind of hold off the attack of the Netherlands, because they've got some really strong attacking players. So we'll see how that goes. But man, we've not given up a lot. You know, we've given up one goal so far. And so for that, like, hey, if we can, you know, put one across and get to penalties or extra time or something like that,
it could happen.
It's a big thing to talk about. I know we spent 3 minutes on it's an automotive good, podcast man. Hey, about it.
If we just, but 5 billion
people watch soccer when it comes to the World Cup.
And 5 billion and one. I'm going to watch it on Saturday for the first time from the very beginning of the game. You know why? Because I'm really into the coach. Ted Lasso is just a guy that understands the game. No, he's the coach, right? Hey, Ted Lasso's the reason that I'm even paying attention to soccer. Ted Lasso comments here. I'm watching soccer. We're all paying attention to community because we all sell and service cars in the United States. So go do that.